Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Second hour of the Alex Jones Show is on. We have some updates here. We're actually going to be joined by a guest at 1 p.m. So the third hour of today's show, we'll be joined by Mark Palaciano, who's been sort of a one-manned army standing up against the Indian takeover of Texas. He's been doing some incredibly powerful work, so very excited to talk to him at 1 p.m. today. I was going to show video of him just now. I'll save that for the third hour when he's coming on. And instead, we'll stick for a moment because we're going to move on. We're going to talk about flock cameras and surveillance and all this sort of stuff. But just to sort of put the cap on our previous hour of coverage about the Muslim takeover, the election of al-Sayed being the, you know, next domino to fall in American politics, let's go now to clip 30. This is a United States congresswoman. This is the other side of the coin, I guess. This is the absurd dichotomy we've been forced into. This is the just monumentally stupid bifurcation of our politics into, are you a Muslim communist who hates America, or are you a whatever this woman is? Let's watch.
And in the United States Congress, I will continue to fight for the people of Israel. I will continue to fight for Israel's existence. Israel comes to me in my dreams. I see Israel's future, and I know that Israel will continue to exist for the Jewish people.
United States Congresswoman giving a speech at Chabad about how Israel comes to her in her dreams. It's like the Martin Luther King speech. I have a dream. I'd rather not get into the details. It's pretty gory, but it's the future of Israel, and it's glorious. It's just, I'd rather not tell you about how we achieve it. It involves a lot of murder, but it's a great dream, trust me. It's a beautiful dream. Just instead of like a black girl and a white girl being friends, it's like the Jewish person not having to live near Muslims. It's a bit of a different dream, but very powerful stuff. So again, this is the absurdity. This is the ridiculousness. People are like, oh my God, they elected a Muslim. And it's like, well, their other option is somebody who is having dreams about how dedicated they are to the survival of Israel and talks about how they're going to use their position in the American Congress solely and exclusively to benefit the foreign people of their own ethnic conclave. It's like, okay, so which is worse? So like, which is better? Which is worse? They both seem like they have no place in American politics, but instead they absolutely dominate every realm because white people have been demoralized and no longer take their own side and just don't care about what all these other people have to say. But of course, that's not, you know, it's not just words. It's not just rhetoric that we hear from Congress. Let's go to clip number 29 here. This is the ICC chief prosecutor about how America treated him when he dared to, you know, try to hold Israel accountable for their many crimes against humanity. Let's watch.
Against Israel, we'll come after you and your family. You have been warned. Marco Rubio, Mitch McConnell, I mean, quite powerful individuals, wrote a public letter. They wrote to me and they said, you have been warned. That's how it ended. You have been warned. Yes, we have faced threats. I've been convicted by the Russian Federation to a 15-year sentence for the audacity, they think, of applying for warrants that judges independently gave in relation to the aggression against Ukraine. And President Trump has sanctioned me and my family because of Palestine.
You had your email disabled, your bank accounts frozen. Is that still the case?
Yes, I don't have any credit card in the world. I mean, all those types of things. You know, travel bans.
You can't have a credit
visas,
card, travel bans. His children's visas revoked. So again, I mean, you can put this right up there at the level of hypocrisy and absurdity of, we have to defend democracy by protecting Ukraine, a country whose president should have been out of office 3 years ago and who eliminated every opposing political party and also shut down all of their media outlets. But we're defending democracy, just like we have to defend the rules-based order. Oh, really? Because the rules-based order said that, you know, Israel shouldn't kill Palestinians. Well, then we'll kill the rules-based order. Then I guess the rules-based order has to die, or at least in the meantime have, you know, every Israeli-connected industry in the world, that is, you know, all the banking and travel industries in the world, cut him off from access because they're so oppressed, you understand.
Ladies and gentlemen, Bigly has launched an online pharmacy 1776RX.health. It's one product we're launching with my decision, and that is ivermectin with minbenazidil, both powerful, really good anti-parasitics. It doesn't just get the big worms and all the crap that's out there. It's amoebas, it's microplasms. It is so important. These two together, I mean, ivermectin is a Nobel Prize winning for this, but minbenazidil is the big one. And folks, it isn't just parasites. Just search minbenazidil studies. Just put that into a search engine and you'll see congressional hearings. You'll see top scientists. You'll see all the studies on what else it does that they don't want you to know about. It's dramatic. So, and you won't know if you had any type of parasitical deal or whatever until you've done this. And a lot of people went there yesterday. A lot of people got it. Very smart move. 1776RX.health.
The answer to 1984 is 1776. You're listening to The Alex Jones Show.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Second hour of The Alex Jones Show is on. I'm your host, Harrison Smith, sitting in for Alex today. We're going to be joined by a great citizen activist trying desperately to raise awareness about the demographicide, maybe that should be a word. Oh no, we have one. It's genocide. That's right. The genocide being carried out here in America and really around the world. But Mark, and I hope I'm pronouncing his name right, Pasiliano, I think. Very excited to talk to him. We'll show you the video of him a year ago trying to sound the alarm and then what has happened over the ensuing year. That'll be in the third hour. But today is kind of an interesting day because I have a lot of videos that I wish I could show you. I just don't have time to get to all of them. But just the beauty of social media, when it actually works well, when it's doing what it's supposed to be doing, when it is providing a platform for random people who otherwise would have no ability to get their message out, but they're so smart. There's so many people that just the way they put things is brilliant. It's like I do this for a living. I see some of these people and I go, this person should have a show. Like, what the heck? There's so many brilliant people. And for it to have a platform where these people can explain things, it's absolutely brilliant. And it's just kind of a weird dichotomy. I don't know. Somebody was complaining I use the word dichotomy too much, but it's a great word. It's a fun word, dichotomy. But then here's the funny part. This person says, you know, they're like, hey, you always say dichotomy. Here's a thesaurus page for other words to use. Only the definition was wrong. And it was like a dichotomy is like an emergency. And it was all these words that didn't mean a dichotomy is when things are a bifurcation. Things are separated into two. The false dichotomy is what we're constantly dealing with. We're constantly dealing with multiple false dichotomy. It's the primary method of the controllers, the masters of propaganda. They love setting up false dichotomies where you either are a, you know, vicious Nazi racist or you're happy that every white country is being destroyed. That's a false dichotomy. Muslim and Judaism, false dichotomy. Even Republican Democrat in many ways, a false dichotomy. So I'm sorry I use the word dichotomy a lot, but try saying it. It's very fun. Say it right now. Dichotomy. It's very fun. The dichotomy I've experienced today was we've got one video is like a Mexican streamer just being assassinated on live stream. Totally brutal, horrific. I don't even want to show it on air, but it does represent, you know, that little bit of difference between America and Mexico. You know, we're not that different. We're actually very similar. We might not speak the same language, but our histories are very similar. Our cultures, you know, share a lot with each other. There's a lot of overlap there. Only you tick down that civilizational dial about a point or two, and suddenly live streamers are being executed by hitmen on motorcycles at the behest of cartels. So I'd like to tick that civilization meter up in the opposite direction rather than descend into the muck and the mire that surrounds us. But that's beside the point. The other video that went viral today is this Hollywood gossip monger like tried to kill himself on live stream. And it's just like scrolling X today. It was just like, wow, a brilliant, you know, video essay that just like explains beauty in the world or like explains this contentious political issue in a way with clarity and, you know, discernment. And then it's like a gruesome video of a guy covered in blood and sirens. And it's just like, oh my God. And then it's another video of really brilliant people. Anyway, I wish I could show you all these videos, but this one I think is worth it. I believe this person is the one in the video, Nicole Nathan Hedrick at Nicole_N_H, video number 3 here. The left loves to weaponize science and claim they have a monopoly on intelligence, but when you actually read the papers they cite, the narrative completely falls apart. This yet another aspect of bigotry against conservatives that we have to fight back against and prove wrong, because I'm telling you, there's no shortage of times in my life I had friends' parents be like, your parents are conservative, but they're so nice. It's like, so literally in the normie perspective, if you say you're conservative, it's like, oh, you're a vicious, mean, hateful person that just loves money and is stupid. We gotta tell these people who the stupid ones are. Let's watch.
Here's a fun fact that's about to make some people really uncomfortable. The higher your IQ, the more likely you are to be liberal. That's not my opinion, that's science. Stay with me, because this is about to get really awkward for some people. Now, before the conservatives in the back start throwing tantrums, let me clarify. Am I saying every liberal is a genius and every conservative is an idiot? No. But am I saying there's a strong correlation between intelligence and left-leaning political views? Yes. And I do have the receipts. A study published in the Social Psychology Quarterly found that people with higher childhood intelligence scores were more likely to grow up to be liberals. Translation, the smarter you are as a kid, the less likely you are to fall for regressive nonsense later. Another study in Nature linked higher cognitive ability with greater openness to new experiences and change, things conservatives tend to struggle with because, well,
actually smarter than conservatives, or are you just being manipulated by outdated, misrepresented science? Not me yet, my name is Nicole. My goal is to give you raw facts so you can spot these subversive tactics being used to tear communities apart and help you navigate this cultural landscape safely. There's a video floating around claiming that high IQ individuals tend to be more liberal. The creator smuggles in 3 famous studies to back it up. Jost, 2003, Kanai, 2011, and Schreiber, 2013. But here is the massive catch that completely dismantles her argument. None of those studies actually measured IQ. Not one. They didn't administer intelligence tests. They measured neurobiology, threat perception, and psychological motivation. As those 3 papers became famous, mainstream media articles heavily conflated them with separate intelligence data to falsely imply that liberals have more evolved brains. In reality, Kanai's 2011 structural MRI study showed that self-reported liberals had more gray matter in the anterior cingulate cortex, which handles complexity, while conservatives had a larger amygdala, which processes threat and external vigilance. Schreiber's 2013 study built on this, showing Republicans utilize that amygdala pathway to process risk. Having a highly tuned threat detection system isn't a sign of lower intelligence. It is a critical evolutionary survival trait. The media weaponized biology to score cheap political points. So, why does this matter today? Because human brain architecture is hardwired, but political parties are fluid coalitions. When these studies were first published over a decade ago, which is part of the reason why you should probably not reference research that's older than about 5 years old, researchers mapped the existing political spectrum of that specific moment. But parties swap platforms all the time. High IQ individuals are statistically linked to cognitive flexibility, open-mindedness, and a deep skepticism of centralized authority. But today, as the modern left increasingly embraces rigid dogmas, speech codes, and institutional compliance, it begins to fulfill the psychological need for certainty and closure that old studies used to blame on the right. Because the parties flipped their behavior, high IQ individuals are becoming politically fragmented. They refuse to adopt rigid dogmas, leaving many high IQ free thinkers completely politically homeless. When you look at actual recent psychometric studies that did measure IQ, the difference between left and right voters shrinks to a microscopic 2 to 5 points. It's a total population wash. The reason for this is a tug of war over 2 different types of data. higher cognitive ability is subtly linked to socially liberal beliefs like personal autonomy, free speech, and civil liberties. But it is also subtly linked to economically liberal beliefs, meaning free market capitalism, deregulation, and fiscal conservatism. Because the modern right champions economic liberty and the left champions social policy, both sides pull highly intelligent subsets of people into their camps. Ultimately, we shouldn't be trying to weaponize pseudoscience to delegitimize or dehumanize people for their political beliefs. Trends change, platforms swap, and labels shift all the time. While identifying these patterns is helpful, the one thing that should remain entirely consistent is our acknowledgement of each other's basic humanity. Let me know your thoughts in the comments. Do you see the modern left becoming the new face of rigid authority? Remember to like, share, and follow for more truth. Thanks for listening.
Extremely well done refutation of, you know, an often repeated lie that liberalism is somehow connected to intelligence. I think it also is conflated with education, because people who are educated think education makes you smart. It really just means you've successfully been indoctrinated in many cases. But one of the places where it feels like the left and right dichotomy, the divide, the bifurcation, where it is getting confused and muddled and mixed up are things like Flock. Apparently, people are trying to portray this as a liberal leftist position to be against Flock, because I guess they must think it's being used to track down immigrants or something. I'm not really sure. See, with conservatives, genuine conservatives, not, you know, capital R rhino Republicans, not the people who claim to be conservative but are just neocons, but like actually conservative constitutionalists in this country, you don't need to come up with an ulterior motive. It's pretty obvious. Like, I'm against surveillance because I'm against the government having this dragnet where they can surveil everybody all the time, frame anybody for anything. I mean, it's bad because of its constitutional violations. It's my opinion. I don't know why the left doesn't like it. Genuinely not sure. I guess they just think like they're against the police state. Again, this is where it gets confusing. For so long, liberals had no concern about, you know, over-policing or cops killing innocent people. It had to be portrayed to them as if it was something racist. Then they were against it. Then they wanted reform. But, of course, they didn't want reform. They wanted the abolition of the police, which, of course, is just utterly stupid. But this is the problem. It's like, again, the false dichotomy. You're suddenly either in favor of the police and don't want them questioned and think that they shouldn't be investigated if they kill somebody, or you want them completely eliminated and they're a racist holdover from the slave catching gangs. It's like, what? So I don't know why liberals don't like the Flock cameras. I'm against the Flock cameras on a moral constitutional basis. I guess they must think they're racist for some reason, but this is one of the, just like data centers, another thing where, to me, as a conservative, I want to see the earth conserved. I don't want to see pollution and water poisoning, the toxic water that comes out of these things, destroying farmland and wildlife preserves. I'm against the thing the data centers will be used for, which can only possibly be collecting, collating, and then utilizing all this data they're getting from Flock cameras. I don't know why. I guess the liberals think that they go to climate change or something, but like everything's a little bit muddled here. And constantly I'm like, I hold a position that to me is just distinctly and traditionally conservative or even libertarian. And I get people responding to me being like, I didn't realize you were a leftist. It's like, since when are the leftists the ones concerned about privacy and stopping surveillance? You are literally, whether it's opposition to Israel or opposition to, you know, Flock cameras, it's like time and time again, the Republican Party or the conservative establishment is just deliberately abandoning these popular positions. That's only possible with an ulterior motive. You can only really want Flock cameras if you have an ulterior motive, because no matter how you try to justify it, it doesn't make any sense. We don't need Flock cameras to arrest people. people get arrested, they get let out because the judges won't throw them in jail. It's the judges that are the problem, not a lack of video evidence. Just like if we wanted to expel all of the migrants that are here, we could do it. It's not that we're just like, oh, gosh, if only we had a nationwide panopticon of digital surveillance, then we could catch the migrants. That's an absurd case to make, but that's what I hear a lot. So I'm, as I think we should all be, completely against not just flock cameras, but the idea that flock cameras represents, the private companies running nationwide surveillance, the lack of controls that these operations have, that these, you know, the infrastructure of our surveillance system is simultaneously overwrought and totally in violation of our privacy, but also totally not secure and not able to be, you know, secured against abuse by people that would hack into it for bad reasons. Let's go first to clip number four, because this explains it in the constitutional way and what the actual stance of the authorities like the Supreme Court have decided on this. Clip number four, you have no expectation of privacy if you're on the streets. However, that does not mean that the government is able to establish a nationwide video dragnet 24/7. Let's watch.
You have no expectation of privacy in public. Somebody has said that to you about these cameras. Maybe a cop, maybe your brother-in-law. They're quoting the Supreme Court and they're not wrong. They just stopped reading too early. 1983, United States versus Knotts. Police hit a radio beeper and a drum of chloroform. They followed the drum down public roads to a cabin. No warrant. Knotts said that was a search. The court disagreed and the judgment was unanimous. Rehnquist wrote it, page 281. A person traveling in an automobile on public thoroughfares has no reasonable expectation of privacy in his movements from one place to another. That's the line. That's where it comes from. It's good law today. It's the sentence every agency lawyer sends me when I ask them about plate cameras. And they're right to send it. It says what they say it says. Now turn two pages. Knotts lawyers had put a warning in their brief and the court quoted it. 24-hour surveillance of any citizen of this country will be possible without judicial knowledge or supervision. 1983. They were describing 2026. And the court answered them. If such dragnet-type law enforcement practices as respondent envisions should eventually occur, there will be time enough then to determine whether different constitutional principles may be applicable.
Whoa.
Dragnet. The U.S. Supreme Court picked that word, 1983. I say AI dragnet, the AI half is mine, and I'll say so every time. That sentence is a rain check. If the dragnet shows up, we'll deal with it then. 43 years. Same opinion, page 283. We have never equated police efficiency with unconstitutionality, and we decline to do so now. Efficiency was the whole point. They said it out loud. So the court wrote the trigger itself. Dragnet-type law enforcement practices. 116,017 searches on one city's cameras. I'm not a judge. Whether that clears the bar is above my pay grade. The bar exists. That's the part I can prove. So next time somebody hits you with the privacy in public thing, you say this. That's Knotts, 1983. Read two more pages. They called it a dragnet and said they'd deal with it when it showed up. It showed up. Six more cases after this one, six more comebacks. Somebody said this to you. Send it back to them.
Magnetic Norse on X. Magnetic Norse on X. Yeah. Extremely, you know, well explained. And it makes perfect sense. And we've got a problem in this country where it's like nobody really thinks about these like precedents that are set. Again, like I can tie this to the debate about birthright citizenship, the debate about, you know, immigration in general, like all this stuff. It's like, okay, so it was never actually decided that you had no privacy. They explicitly said that they're not talking about a dragnet, that the government doesn't have a right to set up a dragnet surveillance grid. At the time, they weren't even technically capable of doing that. But now that we do have the, you know, biometric surveillance grid, we're going off the decision that had nothing to do with that. This is a problem. We need to probably, I don't know, write new rules for this. If only Congress wasn't so busy doing whatever the hell it is they're doing. Certainly not correcting any of these glaring issues in our, you know, long overdue judicial reform. Regardless, we got more videos to show you, including increasing number of people noticing flock cameras, of course, not in places where there are license plate readers, not in places where cars even drive, but on playgrounds and wilderness trails. And now they're popping up distinctly, explicit, like directly in front of gun stores and gun ranges. Let's go down to clip number 8. Flock cameras at a gun range, not pointed towards the road, pointed towards the entry of the range. Let's watch.
So I decided to go to the gun range today, you know, like an American. And tell me why there are flock cameras pointing into the entrance of the parking lot. Not the street, into the entrance so they can read every license plate that comes in here. Yeah, no, I love this. I'm sure there's no ulterior motive behind this either.
And she's not the only one. People are noticing this all over the place. There is no explanation for this that's not sinister. Why do they have flock cameras pointed at gun ranges, not at the street, but simply documenting, tracking, cataloging everybody who goes to a gun range? I don't think you need to be a conspiracy theorist to put one and two together. They're tracking who has guns because they plan on disarming us, because they plan on doing bad things to us. You know, why does Pete Buttigieg want to get rid of the Supreme Court? Because it's a barrier to his ambitions? Why would they want to get rid of guns? Why would they want to do something like get rid of the Second Amendment? Because they don't want you defending themselves against you in whatever they're doing next. There's no good reason to demand that somebody disarm themselves. You only do that if you plan on killing them. Do you understand? They're not putting a 10,000 flock cameras, specifically placing them where people practice with their firearms. They're doing that for a reason. They're not spending all this money and setting up this surveillance grid so it can sit idle, so they can go after pickpockets and illegal immigrants. They're setting it up to go after us. And of course, they do it under a conservative president, so conservatives are tricked into thinking that this will in any way benefit our priorities. They will not. And we'll cover this more on the other side. Again, the flock camera scandals are sort of endlessly deep. We're also going to talk a little bit later about the Iran war and some major developments there. And then we'll talk in the third hour to a great activist who is standing up against the Hinduification of Texas. But I got to tell you, folks, there's a reason why InfoWars and the Alex Jones Network was always so strongly pro-Second Amendment. You actually see on the right wing a lot now, a bunch of people sort of scoffing at the Second Amendment. Well, you should have used them a long time. Now would be the time to use them. You're not using them, so you're cowards. When they try to throw your son into a recruitment van to send him to die on a foreign battlefield, you're going to want the Second Amendment. When they start going house to house to round up people for thought crime, which is, people think that's absurd. Have you heard the people who are running for office these days? Do you know what communist revolution means? It's the Second Amendment, folks. It's the final guarantee.
Can a microscopic tag be implanted in a person's body to track his every movement? There's actual discussion about that.
And often they're things you don't know what to do with. UBOs, they're called unidentified bright objects.
Can brain scans be used to determine whether a person is inclined toward criminality or violent behavior?
Who's got the brain that's going to be most susceptible to a particular kind of manipulation?
So the point is, they've been obsessed with this. It's going on. The COVID shots implanted the matrix, graphene oxide to grow. It's now being scanned. It's now being read. They were putting chips in the troops 30 years ago. The revolution's already here, is what you're saying, Jesse Beltran.
These are just chips on a size that you can no longer see. They're nano size. One's 2,000 times the width of a human hair. The graphene oxide, the silicon-based materials that have been in, we know for a fact that they were in the mRNA. We know that Dr. Ido Bachelet signed a contract with Pfizer in 2015 when he did that TEDMed talk with a trillion robots in a 1cc syringe, and how he teaches his students how to, once they're in a host, how to control them with RF emissions.
And you heard Collins saying 21 years ago that, oh yeah, when we're doing scans, we find all these chips, these bright objects, ha ha ha, wonder to put them there. But as you said, you've been doing this 20 years, and about 10 years ago, you began to go away, not seeing chips anymore, but just liquid emulsion nanotech. Here you are 6 months ago or more, scanning me. Let's go to Alex Jones getting scanned.
So if you put that camera in there, you see how it says probably silicone? That means it's an electronic component. And it's not unusual to find that in the posterior ear area.
So wait, I got a higher reading than him?
No, his was higher than yours.
Okay,
yeah.
That's good.
Yeah, but you did get a positive reading there. So you are getting that at the, you know, base of the neck is what we typically see. Scapula area. What we're finding is after post-COVID, this is very typical. We're completely bombarded by this stuff.
From your own research, there are compounds naturally in nature that just do absolutely incredible things that will draw out these type of things. But you guys have come up with one with scientists that adds these special sea minerals in that then even drags it out even more. And so I have been taking this, the dreams I've had, my skin, my health, what it's done is absolutely insane. GetMasterpiece.com. Matt Hazen, tell us what this does, and people can get 10% off when they follow the URL, GetMasterpiece.com, or use promo code Alex when you're there on the site, because this is really special.
Zeolite is an incredible mineral that is known as what's called the master binder. And what that means is it's known to pick up every type of forever chemical, toxin, toxic heavy metal there is, including fluoride. So when you see charcoal or carbon or clays for binders, you don't see that they will pick up fluoride. Zeolite's different. Zeolite also gets the fluoride. That's a very big deal. It is great at removing these environmental toxins from our body. Masterpiece is the highest grade sea mineral plasma solution. It is basically isotonic, the same mineral composition as your blood plasma. So the sea minerals are being carried in by the nanometer, sub-nanometer size clinoptilolite zeolite. And once the toxin hits the zeolite, it releases and displaces the mineral. People don't feel bad. There's no normal detoxing reaction.
Everybody needs to go to GetMasterpiece.com. You get 10% off by using that URL automatic when you go. There's promo code Alex as well. GetMasterpiece.com.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance. Live from Freedom Command Central, it's the Alex Jones Show.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is the Alex Jones Show. I'm your host, Harrison Smith. So, a lot more to talk about this segment. We continue to talk about not just the flock cameras, but all surveillance camera apparatus, that, you know, like Axon and these others. It's not about the brand name, it's about what it means, how it functions, but also that the concept of warrantless surveillance is increasingly becoming normalized as big tech companies privatize information, own your data on their servers, and therefore cooperate with the police when they want, when they feel like it, to provide your information to them. We'll show you some evidence of that here in just a second. But I do want to remind you, we have never steered you wrong, because we go by a very simple North Star, and that is Americana, the First Amendment, the Second Amendment, all the amendments, really, at least the first 10, are wonderful. It gets a little shaky after that. We could talk about the 16th and 17th a little bit if we want. But the classic foundational character of America is literally all you need to see through all this crap and to know the right angle to take. You can get into debates about the worthiness of the Second Amendment and whether it's more causes more harm than, I mean, you could just debate endlessly. Our feeling is, no, they got it right. No, they nailed it. They figured it out. And we need to stick with that and get back to that in a lot of ways, to the traditional American morals, values, principles, understanding, not just the outcome, not just the Fifth Amendment means you don't have to talk to the cops, but no, the Fifth Amendment was in place because the threat of tyrannical governments is the supreme threat the world over. And so we have to take extraordinary measures to protect civilians from overreach of their government. You have to understand the purpose and the reason and the morals and principles behind the outcome of things like the First through 10th Amendments, but especially the Second Amendment, especially understanding the metaphysical reality of the Second Amendment, the fact that human beings cannot be controlled when they're armed, at least theoretically. You are a sovereign individual. You, as a human being, have the right to life and death, just like everybody else does. And just because somebody is a king or a prince or a Jewish person or a Muslim doesn't mean that they have rights over and above yours, or that they get to protect themselves while you have to be victims. And at the end of the day, you can make the case that America has gone so far off the rails that it's impossible to get back through the system, and that, in fact, our belief in the system is, in a lot of ways, the trap that's keeping us locked where we are in this death spiral feedback loop of chaos and misery. I wouldn't necessarily disagree with you, but at the end of the day, there's a reason we don't have COVID camps. It's because we have guns. There's a reason they are having to run tests about how exactly Americans would receive the draft, because we all have guns, a lot of them. You can't throw us into vans like you do with the Ukrainians. You can't run rape gangs like you can in the UK with American citizens. That's the beauty of America. And it's not just about the sort of higher level sort of European enlightenment inheritance. It's also the fact that that was tempered with, that was, you know, had an alloy with the hardcore wilderness survival frontiersman pioneer spirit of America that says this is a crazy and unpredictable world, and we have to be prepared for whatever comes next. You as an individual have to be prepared for whatever comes next. You need the combination of these two things. We're watching that second part, the sort of barbarous, savage part that is necessary for the survival of our nation, being withered away and winnowed away. I always think about a conversation I had with a friend who was studying Native American cultures. He said he thought the superior culture on all the earth ever, the group of people that had the best moral philosophy ever, were the Hopi Indians. And I got in an argument with him because I said, how could it possibly be the best moral framework ever if it caused them to be killed? If it caused them to be weak? If it caused them to... Sure, maybe it is the right belief to have that, you know, you should be peaceful with all your... But what happens when a stronger group of people who doesn't believe that shows up? Your philosophy better have a hardcore aspect. Your philosophy better have the willingness to commit violence for your survival. And if you don't, how can it be the superior view? And at this point, I'm almost thinking of like the West is that. We are the superior civilization. That has been proven out many times over centuries in ways that are, that you have to acknowledge, that you cannot ignore. The fact that our culture has dominated the globe voluntarily, not that we had to force it on anybody, but because it is genuinely and obviously the best. But what happens if it comes up against a group of people that don't believe the same things that we do and are vicious or tricky, deceitful, violent? We need to remember that our culture is not one of surrender, is not one of rolling over and allowing other people to take over. Our culture, yes, is generous and tolerant and forgiving, but it's also brutal and powerful. Dangerous. We need to embrace that. We need to embody that. And I think InfoWars and the Alex Jones Network has done a great job in promoting these aspects of the American culture that we're losing, and in losing these character, these characteristics of strength, we are losing everything. So we have to regain these things. And I hope you can support us in this mission by going to thealexjonesstore.com. Right now, we have a yet another absolutely massive sale. It's the summer mega markdown event. It's happening now with 50% off some of our top-selling products, like the CMOS capsules, some of my favorites, absolutely. I like the gummies, but the capsules are just as strong, if not stronger. Really great stuff. Creatine powder, also 50% off. The turmeric gummies will change your life, folks. Turmeric and curcuminoids, we have the highest possible amount bioavailable to you. You can see it in the color of the tincture. That bright orange, that's the curcuminoids, the active ingredient in turmeric that helps with inflammation and all this other great stuff. It really is an incredible product. I guarantee you, the gummies, the tincture, however you get it, right now the gummies are 50% off. War Cry smelling salts will make you cry. So it's a clever name, the War Cry. It's like, yeah, I'm at war, but also, oh my goodness, these things are strong. It'll make you cry. It'll wake you up. It'll focus you. It'll sharpen you up. A bit of the old ultra violence. It's powerful stuff. War Cry smelling salts. If you've never tried smelling salts, use caution, folks. You're going to want to keep your nose well away from the opening of the bottle. Waft it towards you. Don't shove your nose in that thing unless you're, you know, ready for the next level. Also, 50% off Superfood Greens gummies at thealexjonesstore.com. You're getting 40% off some of our other top-selling products like colostrum, Shilajit gummies, Ultimate Chill, MK Ultra, Turmeric Tincture, Ultimate Energy, Methylene Blue Tincture, CMOS gummies, and colostrum capsules. All of those are 40% off. Also 40% off are the hats and shirts that you can get. So you're getting 40% off our incredible selection of merchandise as well. And best of all, you support this singular outlet that through everything has never lost our way, has never really deviated from the path of pure, unadulterated, traditional Americana. America first and above all else. And that's not just the people, the nation, the history, but the character, the principles, the morals. Look at that hat. I want that hat. I wonder if they're not bringing us the hats because I keep stealing them. Should I not do that? Should I learn about second order effects and maybe not steal the products that we're trying to sell? Well, too bad. They're too cool. I can't help myself. I can't help myself. They really are cool. Okay, 40% off all of these amazing designs, thealexjonesstore.com, highest possible quality, just like our supplements, our t-shirts, hats. They last for years. They're cool looking. They don't fade. They're awesome. Get them now, thealexjonesstore.com/Harrison, to let them know who sent you. And on that note, I thought this post by Matt Van Swole expresses something I think many of us feel deep in our bones. Matt Van Swole asks, why does everything feel fake? We have a Congress that won't pass something that 83% of people want. That's voter security. We have courts that release criminals faster than police can arrest them. We have schools that graduate kids who can't read. We have colleges that charge $200,000 for degrees that do not get you jobs. We have a nonprofit system that profits from our tax dollars. We have a healthcare industry that profits from you staying sick. We have representatives who don't represent us. News networks that report opinions and call them facts. We have insurance industry that fights every single claim. None of it works the way they tell you it works. And deep down, everyone knows it. It all just feels so fake. Yeah. Yeah, no, it is. It is. And people want you to think that this is complicated. They want you to think that all of these things all have different sources and different reasons. And they all have to do with sort of immutable characteristics of humanity that you really can't fight. You kind of have to deal with. They want you to think that all of this just sort of happened. It just sort of occurred. There's no specific reason. There's nothing you can do about it. You just kind of have to accept it and move forward and stop complaining. Stop complaining right now. All of this is being done on purpose. All of this, and whether, you know, people can have different reasons why. Some people just have been indoctrinated into hatred of what America represents and are just trying to destroy it for the sake of destruction. Other people may be wanting a, you know, communistic revolution in its place. Other people may be following some sort of Cloward and Piven program. Other people are just getting what they can while they can. It all contributes to the destruction of our country, of our way of life, of our people, our nations, Europe, America, Canada, everywhere that the Western world still retains a embattled headquarters. It's happening absolutely everywhere. And for pretty obvious reason, stability, strength, power, knowing who you are, these things make you difficult to control. And they want to control you. And if you can't be controlled, then they'll eliminate you and replace you with somebody happy to be controlled, happy to be given scraps from the table because it's more than they've ever seen before. So let's keep talking about Flock. So let's keep talking about the way Flock is being rolled out, but its opposition is winning here or there. Burnett County here in Texas removes license plate reader cameras after vandalism incidents. So basically, people were cutting down the Flock camera so much, they just gave up and said, okay, we'll just take them all down, which I consider an absolute unqualified victory. Total victory on the home front in Burnett County, Texas. Flock cameras have been forcibly removed by the combined action of quote-unquote vandals, a.k.a. American heroes, and the cooperation of the city council. The Burnett County Sheriff's Office has removed all fixed automated license plate reader cameras deployed in the county following two vandalism incidents, according to an internal memo. The cameras made by Flock Safety were taken down as of Monday. Captain Howard Steinhauer of the Heart of Texas Auto Theft Task Force wrote in a memo to Chief Deputy Alan Trevino. Steinhauer said two of the pole-mounted cameras were damaged in separate incidents. In one, somebody cut the mounting brackets and cables. In the other, somebody struck the camera and its battery with a blunt object and also cut the cables. And they decided, you know what? Let's just not replace them. Let's just not replace them, not actually go after the suspects, and just not have these license plate reader cameras anymore. There you go. Problem solved. And actually, this is happening in a couple places. Saw a press release today, although this one, a little bit different. And hey, I admit I was wrong. I was wrong about this. When you see the spread of Flock cameras, the speed and degree and number of Flock cameras being built up everywhere, I was saying you can't defeat this piece by piece in a piecemeal fashion. It's not a reasonable, you know, defense strategy to go, hey, they put up 100,000 cameras this year. Let's go chop them down. They're going to put up three by the time you chop down one. That's what I thought. And I admit, I was wrong. I was wrong. A concerted effort, a driven, dedicated people going to achieve a goal. They can really achieve great things. On the 1st of August, 2026, the Winona Police Department in Minnesota discovered that all eight of their city's Flock cameras were missing. That evening, an officer noted that there'd been no recent activity on the cameras. Officers subsequently checked the various locations and found the Flock cameras were placed and found the poles were cut down near the base. Officers located the poles nearby in the weeds, but the cameras had been removed. So there you go. It turns out that spending an afternoon with your boys cosplaying as the founding fathers, you can actually take out a whole city's worth of Flock cameras, which is interesting news, to know strictly for informational purposes. Let's go to clip number 12 here. Again, Matt Van Swole, this time posting a video, slightly edited, but very funny. A man in West Virginia is being accused of cutting down Flock cameras, but it couldn't have been him. He was doing stuff with everybody else in town at the time. Let's watch clip 12. Is this clip? That's the wrong clip, I believe. This should be Flock cameras destroyed, Matt Van Swole. Nearly 20,000 people are publicly vouching for a man accused of cutting down Flock cameras in a small West Virginia town. He basically, you know, they arrested this guy, said he's been chopping down Flock cameras, and everybody in the town started going, that couldn't have been him. He was with me. He was definitely with me that whole time. I am Spartacus, actually. And if we can find that video, I'd like to go to it. Looks like clip 11 is it. Let's go to clip 11 now.
Story tonight where it appears nearly 20,000 people have vouched for the whereabouts of a man accused of destroying Flock cameras in West Virginia. Thousands of people have publicly said they were with or saw 20-year-old Wesley Jackson during the time he was accused of the crime, with comments such as, couldn't be him, he was helping me replace the roof on a homeless shelter, and I saw him serving at a soup kitchen at the time of the incident. He has pleaded not guilty to the crimes against him.
Brilliant. He was canoeing with me. That couldn't have been him. He had dinner at my house. That couldn't have been him. We were out counting blades of grass in the field whenever they say he did this. I love it. You love to see it. I'm telling you. This is why I opened the show today with that story about the guy attacking the pedophile who was trying to get with his 11-year-old daughter. Like, we are entering into a world in which everybody recognizes you can't rely on the government and that you can't achieve what is necessary through the system. In fact, this whole week I've had a quote from Thomas Jefferson on the desk, and today is the one day I don't have it. But suffice it to say, Thomas Jefferson, our founding fathers, again, our guiding light and northern star, also recognized, you know, the greatest act of man is not to behave every law as written, to adhere to every law as it's written. Actually, there are times in which the law is in clear violation of your consciousness and what is just right and good and holy and righteous. So it is at that point your obligation to disobey those laws with everything you've got. Flock cameras are certainly one of those times where people recognize this is wrong. I don't care what the quote unquote authorities have to say. It's wrong and it shouldn't happen. In the same way, I would not blame anybody in the slightest if they were victims or their family members victims of a violent crime and they decided, I'm not going to the cops. Because what are you going to do? You're going to go to the cops. The guy's going to get let off. You've got no bail. You've got a DA that's, black supremacist that keeps letting out everybody with similar crimes. You're going to go through this whole rigmarole. You're going to pay money. You're going to have to skip work to go to these hearings to provide evidence to try to get the guy convicted. Even then, he might get off on some technicality. Tell you what, you know who the guy is. Maybe take a pair of pliers and visit him at night. That's the way people are going to be solving things, because our system is not just non-functional. It does the opposite of what it should do. It puts people in danger. And I've got stories literally every single day of this exact thing. I mean, it goes on and on. You want one today? It's a little combination of everything. The illegal immigration and the lack of justice in this country. Haitian illegal charged with raping women in Salt Lake City. It's like that, there's a problem right there. Women is the multiple of woman. So he didn't just rape a woman. He raped women. Multiple, that is. A Haitian suspect who was unleashed into the U.S. by the Biden regime is facing a slew of disturbing charges for sexually assaulting two women in Utah in recent weeks, authorities say. The Department of Homeland Security released this immigration history on this guy. He was arrested over the weekend. He'd been let out not long before for a rape and then went on to rape another person. The victim told police she'd fallen asleep but woke up to him raping her. So again, you know, and we're going to get into this in the next hour as well, because I've got a ton of videos out of McKinney Falls, Texas, or McKinney, Texas, as well as, you know, other places here in Texas, which seem to be, you know, a main focus of the invasion, which again is racially motivated and politically motivated. They literally write articles where they say things like New Hampshire is too white, we better send Muslims there. And then they do, and then they get political power. So obviously Texas is being, specifically targeted. And there's just something so uncanny and unnatural and bizarre about the idea that these people who've lived there all their lives, whose families lived there for generation upon generation, and they're having to just like beg their own leadership not to hurt them, not to destroy them, not to bring a bunch of foreigners in who the people who live there, they don't want to live around them and they have no obligation to. And it's just like this endless struggle. Americans are just constantly being forced to play defense because our government is just constantly attacking us. They're just constantly trying to build mosques in the middle of town and hand over entire neighborhoods to foreign groups and validate H-1B visas by the tens of thousands because they get a little cash on the side or whatever reason. And it's just like, this is unsustainable. Why are the American people constantly having to fight? I get that, you know, vigilance, eternal vigilance is the cost of liberty, but like against our own government constantly, against our own people. Okay, outside forces trying to get in, we have a government for that. The whole point of it is we set it up. We say, this is your job now. You take care of protecting us. I'd like to live my life and not have to worry about 10,000 Hindus building a giant statue and throwing it into the river. Like, why are we having to put up with this? Why do we have to constantly justify just wanting to be left alone or just wanting not to be attacked and taken advantage of? It's absurd. We'll get into that a lot more. But I want to go to clip number 42 here, because it's not just about flock cameras. It's about surveillance infiltrating every aspect of our lives through the private property, private companies that operate our phones and our cars, and of course the flock cameras themselves. In this case, Snapchat is spying on your personal private messages and sending the cops after you if they suspect you of a crime. Let's go to clip 42.
Everything you do, say, write, and post is being monitored. In January 2025, the young teacher's assistant lost a lesson plan when a disruptive student closed her computer. She vented with a joke to friends. Should I shoot him? She wasn't armed and she posed no immediate threat. She said this in a private story online on Snapchat to three people, and none of those people reported her to authorities.
Have you been on Snapchat earlier today?
Yes, I was, yeah.
Okay, that is you, correct?
Oh, yes. This was a joke, though.
But as it turns out, the three people with access to the private story weren't alone. They were joined by Snapchat's artificial intelligence system. Snapchat AI scanned her message, flagged it, and then sent it immediately to the FBI.
You did say, shoot a student, so you are going to go with us. You're going to have to stay the night in jail.
The story is horrifying, but it illustrates a new and dark reality. The world you grew up in is gone.
What were the actual charges for this teacher? She was arrested for disorderly conduct. She spent one night in jail, and she actually lost her job at the school. Here's the news report. This is actually really wild because it shows that the police who came there actually determined that she was no threat, that she just said it out of frustration, and they still booked her and arrested her anyway. Just take a look at this.
22-year-old Kristen Volpe made a comment about shooting a student on social media Wednesday, leading to her arrest that afternoon. Volpe was student teaching at John L. Henze Elementary School when the Tazewell County Sheriff's Office was notified of the comment around 1 Wednesday afternoon. According to deputies and the school district, Volpe made the comment on a social media group chat with friends after a student came up to her and closed her laptop during class. Volpe sent the message to her friends asking them whether she should shoot the student, according to police. Deputies interviewed her and came to the conclusion.
We can take it down. So again, long story short, we're going the way of the UK. I mean, the First Amendment is no protection if it's not enforced. The ability of the cops to do this is extremely troubling. A woman arrested for making a private joke to her friends. Not a real threat, not a public threat, a private communication. Just because it's on Snapchat doesn't mean it deserves less protection than if it was using the U.S. Postal Service. We need a new Bill of Rights for the internet age, because slowly but surely, our First and Second Amendments are being incrementally destroyed. Stay with us. Great activists on the other side. Stay with us.
The dirty, dark, dastardly villain is after the methylene blue formula.
On the magical methylene blue. Don't wait. Get yours today while supplies last.
Come on now, Bandit. We gotta get this truck on the road.
Let's get a move on.
We've got a long way to go and a short time to get there. I'm eastbound and run, oh, Bandit, run. Keep your foot hard on the pedal. Some devil mind it breaks. Let it all hang out, cause we got a run to make. The boys are thirsty in Atlanta, and there's beer in Texarkana. So we'll bring it back no matter what it takes. Eastbound and down, load it up and truck it up. We gonna do what they say can't be done. We've got a long way to go and a short short time to get there. I'm eastbound, just watch old Bandit run.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.